White Sox Weekly continuing. The Wimperoo is with us at Guaranteed Right Field. I'm Mark Carmen. Harry Tynowitz with us. Wimpy, you got the name from Tommy Lasorda. Is that right?
Yes. Regretfully, I did. 1968, I signed with the Dodgers, and Tommy was the manager. And we all had to eat together and be together and do everything together. So the first time we went out to dinner, a lot of guys ordered steaks. You know, the Bobby Valentines, Bill Buckner, and Steve Garvey. They had a lot of money. I didn't have any, so I ordered triple cheeseburgers. And poof, Lasorda gave me that name Wimpy since then, and it has stuck. And I'm really used to it now. I don't even answer to my regular name. Sometimes I forget.
Well, you know, it is so great to have you back in the booth. You know, it's like we don't, you know, realize how much time has passed since the last time you called the
Harry,
White Sox.
Isn't it amazing? You're about 105 now, aren't you?
I'm 104. But, you know, that's just because I used that Grecian hair, Grecian formula for octogenarians.
There you go. I'm listed three times in the Old Testament myself.
Yes. When you were a freshman, God was a junior?
But something like that.
How long does it take you? I know you're constantly around baseball and you're calling other games, but how long does it take you, like, when you get back to the South Side to, like, feel like, you know, you're part of the White Sox broadcast team?
Oh, I'll tell you, as soon as I got here, feel welcome. All the same guys that were here when we were announcing with Hawkins when I first started out in 1988. And the guys are great. You know, no, I really don't think, I don't want to say it's as easy as stepping on a bicycle again, but really it hasn't been any, any problem whatsoever. You know, and I just really enjoyed working with Hawk during those years. And now, of course, the White Sox have a great announcer in Jason. He's just fantastic. He's got a great sense of humor. He knows the game well. And I keep telling him his job is to make guys like me look smart. As the color guy, but yeah, Burnett Jason is really terrific, and I think the White Sox have got a great deal for many years to come. And you know, because you're replacing an icon in Hawk, and I just hope someday that people get smart enough at the Hall of Fame to put him in Cooperstown. I think he certainly deserves it.
So why? Okay, let's answer that question, Tappy Truck. Why is he not in there yet?
I mean, beats me. I don't vote. I don't vote for anything, but why?
Right.
Well, I think a lot of people don't like Hawk because of his homerism. You know, he wants the White Sox to win. So what? You know, and he's very demonstrative in expressing that. So I think that might irk a lot of people.
See, and I think that's, at least for me, that's what makes him great. Like, I like a homer.
Me too.
The best announcers, you want to know that they're in there with you, that they feel exactly the same way that the diehard fans do. I mean, that's what I love listening to. I don't want the cookie cutter. I want somebody that's
right.
battling.
He's not doing a network game. If he were doing a network game, that's a different deal. He's calling the Sox games. Who else should he cheer for?
That's exactly right here. I agree with you 100%. And he kind of plugged that in me, too. And I became there right with him, you know, cheering, yes, put it on the board.
Now, do you own a Hawk Harrelson alarm clock?
No, I want to get one, though.
I mean, Brooks,
I want to get that Hawk Solo one. What a great ad that is. That is really
spectacular,
like it.
Isn't it?
Like, yeah, they do a lot of good stuff here. They've always have.
Would you call it like a marriage between the two of you? I mean, like, people, I think when they look at the golden age of White Sox broadcasting, they're going to talk about you, Tom Pachorik, the Wimperoo, and Hawk. I mean, I think the 90s, it's a special, special time.
Oh, wow, that's a great honor. Thank you very much, Mark. I appreciate that. But, it was a very special time for me. And, I'll never forget those days. And all the guys that we worked with here have just been spectacular. And the White Sox organization, starting with Jerry Reinsdorf on down, really treat their employees great. You know, contrary to what people think, they know White Sox are kind of a put together outfit here, but they really take care of their employees and do a great job in supporting them too. They're very loyal, in other words.
He's incredibly loyal, and you can see how long those guys have been there. I think Bob Grimm has been there, you know, since about like 1970.
The Grim Reaper?
Yeah.
Forever. Yeah. Well, I know. Bob, he's been there an awfully long time. How about Roger Bosser, the groundskeeper, 52 years?
And he might be, and think of the money he saved Jerry when he moved the field over. I think he might be Jerry's all-time favorite employee.
Yep, possibly. Yeah, and Herm Schneider has been here, what, 38 years as the head trainer? Still the best trainer I've ever been around.
Yeah.
Spectacular. Really good. Really, really good.
So tonight you're doing the game with Jason Benetti, who does a phenomenal job, as you mentioned, alongside Steve, and will be replacing Hawk permanently, obviously, at the end of the year. But you got the final game with Hawk tomorrow afternoon. I'm hoping that you like shed a tear atop a chart, something along those lines. I think it's a big deal.
Like at old Comiskey when the last game was played there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping that isn't the last game that Hawk and I do together.
Okay.
I'm hoping that maybe I could squeeze in towards the end of the year. You know, if the opportunity presents itself, I'd be more than happy to come back again because I know tomorrow's going to be a special night. Yeah, you were right, and I don't really want that to happen. To be the last game, because I just like to, you know, I never thought it would be that way. You know, when I come back, I didn't want that to have a sudden ending like that. I'd like to perpetuate the whole thing because it's been such a great experience.
Carm, can we talk to some rabbis and get an extra Jewish holiday so Wimpy can come back?
I invented this one for Stoney, so he wouldn't.
I believe you might have. So I want to go back to 1983, and Dewey Lamar Hoyt wins game one. Floyd Bannister gets beaten game two, and you guys return to face the Orioles game three on a Friday night, the middle of October, and Richard Dotson's on the hill. Now the AA pitching coach, Richard Dotson. And it just got ugly. And then there was that Saturday game when my all-time favorite White Sox pitcher, I've still never met the guy, Britt Burns, pitched his heart out. His heart out. And you guys, was the 10-inning game, was it, Tom?
Yeah, at least. I thought it was 12.
12 innings? And I've chosen to block it out of my memory.
Yeah, me too. That was a horrible day. That was gut-wrenching is what that was.
It was. I still don't know what Dibzinski was doing around third base.
Well, yeah, that was a... didn't work out for us.
And the Orioles, of course, go on and they win the World Series.
They were good, too. Let's give them a little credit, too. They had a heck of a team.
So do you believe that if you guys had beaten Baltimore, you would have also captured the Fall Classic?
Absolutely. We'd have beaten the Phillies. We were as good as Baltimore, and I think we were definitely better than Philadelphia was at that year. You know the thing, though, Harry, that one of the things that we really wanted to win the series for was Charlie Law was our hitting coach, and we knew that he had terminal cancer. Mm. And Lauren Babe was traveling with us, one of the great scouts that the White Sox had over the years. He was traveling with us, too, for the last half of the season. And we knew that Lauren was in trouble, too, that we'd possibly, at the end of the season, would not see both of those guys. And that's the way it worked out, too. They both passed away on the winter, and we just would have, to me, it hurt more to let those guys down than it was, for my own self and everybody else, because we thought we'd have a chance to come back again.
The game four was a 10-inning game,
in
case anyone's driving around screaming. It was 10 innings. It was 10 innings. We got it.
Tito Landrum. Yeah.
Tito Landrum. I know why they ran him out of St. Louis.
Oops.
I want to go 1984, May 8th. The Milwaukee. That's a historic game. Tell us about what happened that day, Tapachoro.
Well, I was at Old Comiskey Park. It was a tradition that the guys that weren't starting the game would eat a pizza in the umpire's room about the third inning from Connie's, of course. And this particular day, I paid for it. So, naturally, I was in there scarfing, and all of a sudden, one of the clubhouse boys knew where we were, which was shocking. He said, Wimpy, you got to pinch it for Kitty. He says, why? He's got a migraine. Well, when's he up? He says, you're up next. I said, oh, man. So I went out there, threw my bat and helmet, and I should have before I hit. And I struck out. But the game went on for, 25 innings? And I wound up getting 10 plate appearances and 9 official at-bats. And a lot of people may not even know this, but I have the record for most hits. That was 5 by a guy who didn't start a game. Of course, it took 25 innings, actually 3 games to get it. But that's my only claim to fame, I guess, in the record books.
I didn't know that till today. Harry, did you know that he was 5 for 9, and it still stands today. The most hits for anybody who did not start a game, the Wimperoo.
Yeah.
I can't stress enough how much fun it was to watch that 83 team. And, the Sox fans were sort of teased by the Southside Hitmen in 77. That 83 team... you know, and Tom had been here, but I mean, the guys on that, I mean, it didn't look like the kind of team the White Sox had been putting out on the field. It looked like a completely different team. You know, you had, you know, Tom and Kemp on the corner outfield spots. You had, you know, there were laws everywhere. There was Rudy, there was Vance. You know, you had, you know, just a tremendous pitching staff, and, you know, it was just, it was a game. It was, boy, if they had beaten Baltimore on Saturday, they would have beat him on Sunday. But I want to play more Jim Pechorek tape. Let's get some more Jim Pechorek sound out.
Well, it is
my
incredible.
Brother went to the Japanese League for 6 years after that and actually won a batting title. But getting back to our team, just for a second, Harry, we had speed. We had great defense. Julio Cruz was a great leadoff man, along with Rudy Law. They could really fly. And we had great pitching. We had outstanding power and good batting average guys, too. So it was a well-rounded team.
Juice Cruz scoring the clincher to go to the playoffs.
Right.
Give me a favorite old Comiskey Park memory. I'm always nostalgic or Tom Pechorek. No matter what, I like old Comiskey. I like Chicago Stadium. If I could go to Ebbets Field, I would. You know, all that type of stuff.
Yeah, well, it's hard to beat that 25 inning marathon,
right.
And especially eating the. But the crazy stuff was going on all the time. Mark Hill was the comic. You know, he'd put shaving cream in the phone, and you'd answer it, and blah, where's that booter? One time, I occasionally had a cigarette, and booter went. I made an out. I popped up to the catcher or something. I was madder than heck, and I lit up a cigarette, and the thing immediately exploded in my face. And I did three other ones, too. And he used to do things like that. But that was very commonplace, and you kind of accepted that as daily ritual. And you'd get on each other. You know, like we'd get on Kitty when, you know, Kitty would come in talking about himself, and then somebody would go, catch 22, and everybody would yell out, catch 22, and somebody would open up an envelope and say, what would Ron Kittle do if you hit him 100 fly balls?
Karnak,
that's it.
Tony La Russa, did you know back then that he was going to become, quote-unquote, you know, the Tony La Russa?
No, I didn't. No, actually, you know, Tony was really high strung, and you know, during those years with the Sox, and he became a lot calmer. You know, great. He was a very good manager when he was here, but I think he really developed his craft when he was with Oakland and St. Louis. He became a great manager and certainly a Hall of Fame manager.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Tony La Russa was like a completely different guy, you know, than so many of these other managers today. I don't know how Tony would do in today's game. You know, Wimpy, what about, you know, replay? I love that we have it, but it certainly needs to be, you know, it seems like it's not taking as long this year. You know, they're talking about, you know, the pitch clock. Do you like the mound visits? Do you like the way that baseball is headed?
Well, I kind of like the mound visits. Limit those, because those are just boring. They just take away from the, you know, the rhythm of the game. I do like the replays, you know, because it could be the difference in winning or losing a ball game, and you certainly want to get the calls right. So I don't really mind the delays for that. And all in all, I pretty much am satisfied with the way they're doing. I don't think they're doing anything to harm the game. I think what the best thing they ever did was put that wild card in. Mm-hmm. You know, look, and you know, and right. Everybody loves it now, but everybody was ranting and raving that wasn't going to be any good.
That's Bud Selig.
Selig was great. Bud was outstanding, and Jerry Reinsdorf was at a big part in making a lot of those decisions too. That has made baseball a lot better. You know, for the players and the fans, I think.
So what you're saying is that Jerry Reinsdorf basically ran baseball when Bud Selig was the commissioner.
Sure, Harry, whatever you say, buddy.
That's what I think. That's what I think happened. And Ron Storto, who was your producer, says,
yes, Ronnie, of course.
Ron Storto says, as funny as you guys were on the air, it was much more fun between innings and after the game.
Oh, yeah. Those secrets we can't reveal, right?
Oh, yeah.
I've forgotten all of them anyway, so it wouldn't matter.
T- Tom Pachorek, great to see you.
Great. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Harry. Yeah,
we always a jump. Pleasure, Wimperoo. Have fun with the
buddy.
Hawk tomorrow.
Thank you. I will.
Mercy.
I will. Mercy.
We will be watching.
He gone.
White Sox Weekly continuing, 720 WGN.